Logan are friends who met on the internet. And Logan and Tyler are also friends who met on the internet. Yeah, Tyler and Bart are buddies too. And now it's the three of them and you.
Lots of danger at every corner, fighting androids and lots of monsters.
Much more than a podcast. Well, I guess it's only a podcast. And now it's time for a podcast.
Ooh. Welcome to BLT Lunch Break, episode number, I don't know, 37.
In a row?
I know. I was waiting for that. I was waiting. As soon as I said it, I knew you're coming out. But introduce yourself.
This is the B. This is Bart.
This is Logan. I'm the L. But go. I mean, I figured that was okay. Go ahead, Tyler.
I'm Egbert. I'm the T. No, yes. I'm Tyler.
Sorry about that. That was Tyler's new trying to like make sure people know, because thankfully I feel like we have different enough voices, because there's some podcasts I listen to. You can tell
they're talking about. I don't have a distinct sound at all.
None of us do. But like some podcasts I listen to, the guys just, you can tell they grew up together or whatever. So they just start. Trying to figure out who is who. I don't feel like that's the case here, but I think people also don't know who we are necessarily because they maybe never listened. So welcome to all the new listeners who are joining us on BLT this week. It's been a week, boys.
Welcome to the party, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I feel like we have to get the red.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hey, there you go.
What's why I missed
Yippee-ki-yay.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
Yippee. What's the censored version of that?
I was say, what's that part after yippee-ki-yay? You can't say
oh man, what's the censored version?
Use on like on TV?
Yeah.
Motor scooter.
What is it?
I'll
look it up. I don't know.
Mr. Falcon.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Mr. Falcon.
Yeah. My
favorite is if you ever watch both Back to the Future and or Teen Wolf. That you'll hear Marty constantly say, "Geez, Louise, geez, Louise, Doc, are you telling me you built a time machine?"
My favorite
our Lord and Savior.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah,
which is weird they have to edit that. But I guess they're using versions though from.
I never even thought about that.
That was in the '80s. I bet now they wouldn't.
My favorite one is if you ever watch The Big Lebowski, in a censored version of The Big Lebowski, they dubbed over.
How do you censor The Big Lebowski?
Well, they almost did it. And same, I think, similar to Mallrats also, is they instead of just just changing the words or bleeping out or whatever, they created new lines of dialogue that made no sense. But hopefully we click. So there's one line. I'm not going to say the real line of The Big Lebowski. It was, you know what happens? This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
Ah.
And it's my favorite thing. And he starts slamming on the car. You know, this is what happens. If you watch The Big Lebowski on like Comedy Central, you'll find a stranger in the Alps.
I love all those how they censor things on HBO and whatnot. I want to use them in real life.
Yeah, they used to do that. I remember Airplanes was always like that. You'd fly, you'd always get these ridiculous versions on Airplanes. Now I feel like they need a little bit more censoring, because I'll turn over and like, oh, what's my friend next to me watching who's on this flight? I'm like, whoa, okay, buddy, calm down. Like, we don't, they're kids here, all right, you know, that's okay. British Airways, they don't care.
I was on a flight to Vegas once, and the girl... It was – so my buddy was on the aisle. I was in the middle, and then a girl sat on the window of our row and proceeded to watch American Beauty and some other Kevin Spacey movie where he was accused of murder, of rape and murder.
No,
it wasn't K-Pax.
Not K-Pax.
You know, I actually –
It was like The Odd Confession of Timothy Green or something weird like that, but – And there's a very graphic, like, scene. I'm like, and she's just sitting on the plane, like, no big whoop. Here it is. I'm like, oh, my God.
That happened to me on the way to Universal a couple weeks ago to Horror Nights.
Oh, dear.
I was watching The Shining, and there's a couple moments in The Shining that, like, I forgot. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to flip my phone down for a second here as they're asking me, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning when I'm watching
your
this.
Your reflections on the window.
Exactly.
You try to turn it, and you're like, oh, no, wait.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I remember, like, some blood parts, but I don't remember this part. Let's just fold the phone down. Okay, moving on.
You mentioned K-Pax. Oh, you know, yeah, I had like a weird
gross part. Ugh.
I liked that movie when I was a kid. I can't remember anything about it now. Like, but I remember being a little kid and liking the movie, and my dad thought that was the strangest thing. I need to watch it again. Like, I know he was like an alien supposedly from Mars, right?
From K-Pax.
My apologies.
But spoiler alert.
Well,
I thought that's kind of ambiguous.
Yeah,
right?
It's left up to interpretation, I think. Yeah.
I have to be honest with you about two things. A, you guys saw it as kids. I saw it with my wife while we were dating.
I mean, I was like 17.
Secondly,
I was in college.
How old was I?
It was 2001.
Yeah, I was 11.
Was it? Okay.
I was.
And I also, I'm not really sure what the resolution was because I actually fell asleep about halfway through it in the theater and I slept till the credits.
Well, sorry, Kevin Spacey.
It's a rousing endorsement
up
there.
Speaking of that, that's pretty much what happened to me in the Lego Ninjago movie this weekend while I was just trying to sort through what in the world was happening on the screen in front of me. I took my son out and I picked up my son from school and I was like, buddy, you've had a great week. Let's go see Ninjago. So I was like excited. You know, Bart, you had told me like there's some strange stuff in it. I don't want to spoil it for you. That movie is cuckoo bananas.
Yeah.
Like it's just I don't know who it's for or what. Like my son liked it. Like he likes 99% of movies. The only movie he's ever walked out of was Kung Fu Panda 3. And other
really?
Than that bored him to death.
I only saw the first one.
Well, so. He had not seen either, so maybe he shouldn't have jumped in on the third. It was a little
slow.
Yeah,
there's no truth in this art.
Yeah. It was a little slow, but we jumped into Ninjago, and Ninjago's not boring by any stretch of the imagination. It's just...
It's a dumpster fire.
It's just insanity. Like, from the first 10 minutes on, it is just... I don't even understand it. It doesn't even make sense from the story point of view, which is like... Spoiler alert, it's like Jackie Chan is telling, which I was like, Jackie Chan is on the screen, I'm so excited, is telling this story of Ninjago to a little kid, but it's not the Ninjago maybe if you've watched the cartoon. It's the same characters,
which
but
I don't
in a completely
that.
Different universe.
I don't understand that. Why would they do that if they already have a property that has a television show? That right. It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, I think Ninjago originally was on Nickelodeon, but really? Yeah, I think it's probably on Netflix.
Yeah, so
now.
I mean, you have a property where the kids are familiar with it, and then you release a movie with the same title and then completely different character. Or they look the same, but they're...
So here's the thing. I never watched Ninjago, the TV show. My son this morning was like, I want to watch the TV show. And so we just seen the movie. And again, he enjoyed it because he enjoys these movies. It's good. It's the worst of the three Lego movies, but it's not awful. It was just insanity. So we flipped it on. I was like, buddy, I think it's a completely different thing. Like, it's not going to be what you know. And no, it's the same, like, four leads and the villain look close to the same, all have the same names, different voices, and it's not a comedy. So it's...
So they all have the same names?
Yeah, like Lloyd, who's the main character, is in the show as Lloyd. Garmadon, who's the bad guy, is the bad guy in this.
See, I didn't hear that.
But
I heard that they were all completely different.
But they're not. It's like what they did with the Power Ranger movie. It's the same character names. That's about it. Huh. Like it's and for it being for kids and the fact that the show is so readily available to kids right now on Netflix and things, you think they would have made it a little bit more, you know, down a straight and narrow path. But no, it just goes – I guess just they had to play off of what the last two Lego movies did.
But did you notice, too, like, they casted it up with all these, like, known comedic names. Like, the only one that really served at all was Kumail Nanjiani. He was really funny, but they didn't give him a lot to do.
Yeah, he was
But
great.
all the other Ninjago characters are, like pretty famous comedians right now. Like, and I can't think of any other names.
It's not James Franco. It's the brother of James Franco is the lead.
It's Dave Franco.
Who I enjoy. I like him a lot.
I like Dave Franco.
Yeah, I do too.
One of the ninjas is the guy who I think his name is Michael Pena. He was in Ant-Man. He's the guy's like, my cousin. You know, he's like starting
the story
like that.
Tells the story in Ant-Man.
But you wouldn't know it was him. He's just doing like a straight voice. One of them is... I think it's Fred who's
Fred Armisen, which I didn't even know until the credits.
Again, he's not doing a voice. He doesn't even sound like anything. He's just it could have literally been any voice actor in the world, and you wouldn't have known the difference.
Yeah, there's
like,
a lot
why
of
would
big
they even
names.
Do that? And even well, and then the lead bad guy is a totally random. It's Justin Theroux, Jennifer Aniston's husband.
Yeah, who is just like, essentially doing a impersonation of. Batman
of Joe.
What's his name?
Yeah, the guy don't Will Arnett.
Will
He's
Arnett.
Totally doing a Will Arnett. Impression.
I thought it was like, oh, they brought Will Arnett back. I was like, that doesn't sound quite right. And I looked up, oh no, it's Justin Theroux. And then it says Chris Hardwick was in it. I didn't even notice.
Oh, yeah. He was like a news announcer or something, wasn't he? Like very briefly.
Okay. I didn't know. I mean, obviously, Michael Strahan plays himself, but as a Lego.
And Robin Roberts.
Robert. It's a wild movie, man. I know we're like a month later. I don't want to spend too much time on the Ninjago movie.
I haven't seen it, so I can't really join in.
All right. Well, let's talk about something we all saw. And that would be, because people are asking for us, I think we should set a timer for how long we'll talk about it. And that is obviously The Last Jedi trailer dropped Monday night.
The Last Jedi trailer came out?
I don't know if you've heard about this. It's a sequel to The Force Awakens.
What?
It's Rogue One 2, The Last Jedi.
By George Lucas?
It is directed by George Lucas. It is written by Aaron Kirschner. It's real random. They switched places for this second. No, it's obviously, it dropped on Monday around halftime of a football game.
I think they had to bring in Henry Winkler to direct it. They had problems.
Henry Winkler from television's Happy Days. Music by Vinnie Vincent. Yes. We're going to get into that later on.
Can I say something really fast? You talked about The Force Awakens and the writer of The Last Jedi, and that made me think of Lawrence Kasdan. This is how my brain works. For those listeners who are not aware, Lawrence Kasdan wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark. The screenplay. And did you guys notice, I mean, Bart, I know, you saw The Force Awakens, right?
I did. Think so, for a minute. I'm like, no, it hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
I did The Force Awakens.
All right. So when you guys first, like when it first started and Kylo walks out, you know, you see Poe Dameron and he drops down in front of him. Yeah. Like, could you not just smell Lawrence Kasdan and Raiders all over that movie? Like, it just felt like Indiana Jones to me. Like,
I can see that. But he also wrote.
So how does this work? Do I talk? You talk? I talk? And like,
yeah.
I mean, like,
oh, yes. That was a very, very Indiana Jones moment.
Very Indiana Jones. Very Raiders. Yeah. And me and my buddy was sitting next to each other, and we looked and we went, Raiders. Like, yes. I mean, I enjoyed it. So did Lawrence Kasdan, he didn't have a hand in The Last Jedi?
No, The Last Jedi. No, he also wrote Empire and Return of the Jedi. Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. He co-wrote it with George Lucas, crafted the story. He is co-writing the Han Solo movie, I believe. I need to confirm that.
He needs to.
I've been writing Han Solo for years. I might as well. But I think him and his son actually are writing that film.
Oh, that's right. I heard that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I could be totally
sorry,
wrong.
I know. I think we're supposed to talk about The Last Jedi, but I never get to talk about things like this.
Am I muted?
You're not muted.
No. Sorry.
Okay.
I love you, Bart.
I just said his son. He wrote it with his son. And Logan's like, I think it was his son. I don't know. I have to check on that.
Well, I had one
something
ear
in
off.
My mind is saying his son. I don't know.
I'm going to bump your audio up just so I can hear you a little bit more.
Carry on. Yeah. Pump up the volume.
But no, he did not have anything to do with The Last Jedi. It's written by the director, right, of The Last Jedi?
Ryan Johnson.
Yeah, I believe it's also written by him. So, no, he has nothing to do with this one.
He wrote Porgs.
He did write the Porgs.
And that leads us to The Last Jedi. No, see what I did there? That's called a segue.
I think that's a moment, the Porgs moment in that trailer. All right, let's start. I'm going to start a timer and say, let's say we're 12, 13 minutes or so into this show right now. I don't think like we should, because people are like, y'all get in these Star Wars rabbit trails and you go on. You're wearing a Star Wars shirt, for goodness sake, right now.
Oh, I am.
Let's go. Like, I'm going to set a timer for 10 minutes. And if we keep going, we'll see how conversation's at. So, all right. Y'all are here. And I'll put the ringer on loud. So The Last Jedi just premiered the trailer. Second, we had the teaser, which I was kind of underwhelmed.
Why can't you get like 3 minutes and I get 3 minutes and Bart get 3 minutes? No, I'm
we
just
gotta talk.
Go.
I'm not just going to rant. So initial reactions, your turn. Initial reactions to The Last Jedi trailer.
The first one or this one?
This one. That last one, meh. This one.
Well, I honestly think it looked better than the Force Awakens trailers. And I thought those were some of the most well-crafted trailers I had ever seen.
I agree.
It really intrigued me, and I am ready to see it. I think you had mentioned to me that the Porg stole the show, and I agree. I don't like his sound.
You know, like the bird, like no,
it's like.
I've been hearing it in my house for like a month now, so I'm used to it.
It's not a. I don't know, man. It sounds mechanical. It doesn't sound like a creature. You know, I don't know. I don't know. That's my only complaint. But other than that, I think it's great.
Bart, we're gonna do rounds.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, like space. Am I right? Okay, your turn, Logan.
This is so Bart told me one time, he said, I think you and my dad, or you, me and your dad, talking about my dad. Bart thinks that.
Bart's your dad. Every time you've referenced your dad, we find out it's actually Bart.
Bart told me that he thought he and my dad would get along. And I'm sitting there thinking, my dad doesn't like things. Like, he doesn't like collectibles. Like, he owns nothing. Like, he literally has a bed and two shirts. Like, he hates going to Disney parks. Like, I mean, he loves Walt Disney. Like, he hates. But, okay, now I have found a common ground for Ronnie McDowell and Bart Scott.
Dad jokes.
They don't care for Star Wars. My dad.
No, that's.
Huh? Come on.
It's, go ahead. Is it that's your not true, thing? But go ahead.
Is it your always preference, not really my thing.
Okay, all right. So anyway, Dad always says, I don't get it. He's like, they're in space. They have all this technology, and it always ends with two guys fighting with swords. And I'm like, that's not really a good justification. Like,
then you don't get it.
Yeah, you just don't get it.
It's just not, yeah, that's, just don't, like, I'm not having that conversation.
I asked him, and I said, Dad, I'm buying tickets for me and my nephew, I said, to see The Last Jedi. I know you don't want to go, but I'm just extending a hand. Yeah, I'm going to let you boys do that one. And I was like, ah, come on, man. So
that's unfortunate. My parents, like, at least they dig in on it. So go ahead, Mark.
I very much, like I have said, the last two Star Wars movies that have come out have been my two favorite of all the Star Wars movies. So I'm much more into it now. I'm much more on board. And I thought this trailer was awesome. I think it's like you said, I thought it was better than any of the marketing for The Force Awakens or even Rogue One. I'm very excited to see it and see where it's going. I feel like, again, there's a lot of, just as everyone complained that The Force Awakens was like a retread of A New Hope.
I hate that argument.
I feel like this one, there's a lot of shades of other Star Wars movies in this trailer. My biggest thing is like this. Okay, so this Snoke character, who I
hope he's Darth the idea. Plagueis or whatever. I hope he is.
Well, I thought maybe he was some kind of reanimated or reincarnated Anakin Skywalker, because they did that whole thing in part three.
See, that's what I think about. That's what I think about Rey. I think the whole thing
about people being resurrected from the dead or whatever. And, you know, in the hologram version, he had all that damage on his head, kind of in the area that Anakin's was at the end of the original Star Wars movies. But I don't know now. But I'm like, why? It's basically like we have the Emperor all over again. Why do we have another Emperor and we have another Empire, basically? But I'm more intrigued by, did you guys, not to get off topic, but did you guys see the trailer they released for Battlefront 2?
Yes, in with which the weird robot Emperor.
The message he left. Well, yeah, they had this like robotic messenger, and then his face appears on the screen.
He's like Magneto.
If you're watching this, I'm dead. You know, and like, execute order 69. Get it? Just kidding. But I don't know what it was. But it's that looked. I was like, I want to see that story. Make that movie. But anyway,
I agree with you on that. I mean, I think that the Last Jedi trailer. I watched. This is how badly Star Wars affects me. I watched it once and was like, I'm not watching this rest of the night. I had like, I don't know, the way that it was crafted with that overall like sense of dread. It like hit me in a weird spot. Like, I loved it. I thought it was
the new trailer,
the new one. I thought it was unbelievable, but it hit me so weirdly hard.
I've had stuff do that to me.
I was like, seriously. I put this away. Like, I'm not watching. And yep. I watch it. My son, first thing, of course, he wakes up as he was asleep at this point. He's like, we're watching it. And I watched it probably six times that day with people watching it here in the office. Like, it just, and by that point, I'd gotten over it. It's like, I don't watch the Han Solo death scene. I don't like it. So I've moved past that. That being said, man, I
well
thought this
crafted
was,
scene.
Oh, it's a beautiful scene.
It
hits me so hard that like
JJ Abrams, I mean, the music, everything is perfect in that scene. I was gonna say, because Bart was talking about this trailer, or something he said made me think about this. Like, I think it's so funny because I'm kind of with you guys. I think it's wonderful and it's amazing. Which is so ironic because that's the complete opposite of how I felt for the teaser.
Oh, same here. I thought the teaser was the worst of the Star Wars trailers of the new generation.
And I was like, uh-oh. here we go.
That's how I felt too.
And then I see this trailer and I'm like, oh, okay. Like maybe that's why this trailer is so good. You know, because I mean, everybody's like, oh, he's extending his hand and everything to her. I smell editing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that moment may happen. I've heard a lot of theories, but I think everything is misdirection. They're not giving away all this stuff in the trailer, nor would I want them. I love seeing Kylo flying a TIE fighter. Love that moment. Yeah. And my mom, who is like Marlene, because she loves Star Wars because we got into it. She introduced me to it. Like, I remember my parents sitting me down like, you need to watch these movies when I was 9 years old. Like, I have the exact memory of where I was watching the original trilogy. And she loves Adam Driver. Like, I mean, she loves him. So she's like, I'm so excited for this movie. Because she's like, he's the most underrated actor of our generation. I was like, well, of this generation, whatever. But she really loved that. I love that, too. I think he's going to be great in this film. I think Mark Hamill did a pretty darn good job of not being what people always kind of put on to Mark Hamill. I love sort of the wild-eyed Luke Skywalker, and where he can just tell him he's just a little crazy, and I love that. I can't wait to see this film. I bought my tickets. Me and one other guy, we're like always the ones like when it's going on sale, trying to figure out how to get them. We ended up collectively with 33 tickets amongst our group of people, and then I had 5 tickets for the next day. So I will be now. I didn't buy 33 tickets for me. I bought them. You know, we all got in together and bought them together.
I wasn't gonna say anything.
Yeah, I just need my space. What I am in the new generation though of reserving your seats, which is crazy. So I was like, all right, well now we don't have to show up 3 hours before.
I know.
I don't know if that's good or bad, man. I kind of liked it, but you know, it's okay.
Yeah, I waited one day to get tickets because I didn't have enough
funds.
Yeah, enough funds in my account, and they were sold out.
Gone.
The first day, I was like, wait, what? So I got like 10-20 IMAX showing on the next day or something like that. So
should come out to Cool Springs. We got plenty. I know you want to. We have the fake IMAX out here.
The Limax.
Yeah, it's just a big giant screen. Here they also will serve you food, which the guys were all talking about that. I was like, no. I mean, I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, but first time.
Also were like doing that later in the night. Like they're doing that because they know all the hardcore. They're also doing it an hour early for people. It's 6 o'clock. You can see it. But there's like a first thing they show you like is a half hour bonus features. And then you see it like 15 minutes early. But the ticket was like $28.
The first day was more expensive than the second day.
Yeah.
You mentioned talking about Adam Driver and being such an amazing actor. I did talk. Hey, Bart, I did get my dad to go see Force Awakens, though. I was like, come on. This is like a monumental.
Yeah, you got to be there.
Yeah, a cinematic. Because my dad loves movies. He's the reason I love movies. And he loved Jurassic Park. He loved going to see all those films. And like now he's just gotten to an age where he wants to, you know, watch serious melodramas and like war documentaries and stuff. And that's fine. Like I love those too. But I'm just like, Dad, come on. For old time's sake, you need to go see this movie. So he did. He thought it was great. The scene with Han Solo, he thought that was great, but he was so bothered by Adam Driver and how he looked nothing like Harrison Ford. And I was like, see, to me, I see it.
See, I was bothered by that too.
I see it.
And I know
either one of them.
Like, I know why he was casted as Han Solo's kid, because I see it. He looks like an unattractive Han Solo. But and I told them, hang on a minute. I told them.
It's fine. We'll delay. We'll delay.
I told them, I said, I think the reason why he got the role is because he's so good. He's like a theatrical actor.
Great actor.
Did you guys see the kid? I can never think of his name. I'll have to Google it. But he's the kid that played young Harrison Ford in that movie about the girl who was ageless.
Yes.
That's who my dad was like, why didn't they cast that kid?
Oh, what's his name? He's like an impersonator.
He looks just like Harrison Ford. He's a clone.
Crap, I forget his name. Decent amount of mutual friends.
Movie about a girl who's ageless.
Yeah, she gets in a car accident in the 40s, and she's struck by lightning in the water, and then she can't age. Adeline. No, that's a scary movie.
Abigail. No, I know what you're talking about. What's that guy's name? Because he's been on, like, he now does, like, commercials and all these other. Jamie Costa is who you're talking about.
No.
No?
No. Uh-uh.
You're not talking about Jamie Costa?
I know. That's the Robin Williams guy.
He does the Han Solo, though, too.
I know. He Anthony Ingruber.
Oh, yeah. I think of them as the same person. The guy yeah. who did the, had like the – where he just does the scenes from the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Yeah.
That's right. He does play him in that movie.
Yeah. Anthony Ingruber, if you guys haven't seen this kid, you need to go look at him. I mean, it's weird. So I have a theory, and I talked about this a few podcasts ago about the young Indiana Jones thing. I think they didn't cast him as Han Solo because I think they have an idea. I think I know what they're going to do. So I think they're saving him.
All right.
Because he looks so much like Harrison Ford. I'm going to show.
He could be not a great actor, too. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, just because you can do a good impersonation.
I mean, sorry, right, right. Can I say that on the podcast?
I think that's okay. I think that's allowed. No, no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's right.
That's probably like 10 years old now, but yeah.
Bart, I'm going to send you a picture of this kid.
Yeah, but to me, I look at it and go, I disagree with that because when they show, especially in this trailer, if you haven't seen it, but obviously they show shots of Kylo and then shots of Leia. And kind of they go back and forth between the two of them. And I really see it in that moment. Like, I can feel it. I can get into it. And I think you're right. He's just such a darn good actor that I don't really even care. And he's a great mask actor, someone that can really put a lot of motion behind the mask without really even having to be on screen, which there are plenty of people can do that, but it's something you learn in acting school, but it's tough. And I feel like Kylo did a good job. I feel like Darth Vader, who, you know, the guys who were in the suit there. That's why I hated the only change of the entire Star Wars original trilogy that has changed. The only change I actually have a problem with of the entire, like, I don't mind blinking Ewoks. I don't mind, which sounds like I'm cursing. I don't mind blinking Ewoks. That's a shirt too. I don't mind Dewbacks. Like some of it, maybe a little over the top, but it doesn't bother me. The only one that bothers me is when they add in the Blu-rays, Darth Vader yelling "No!" when he goes to save Luke. And the reason was I always thought the acting behind the mask of the performer who was Darth Vader in that sequence was so good to where I could feel his emotion. I knew exactly what he was thinking and feeling without anything, without ever seeing this guy's face. And I feel like they took away that moment a little bit. That's the only one. And I understand it ties in that in the prequels, but it's the only one of all of them. And I feel like if you can be that actor that can convey that kind of emotion behind a mask, good on you.
It's never the adjustments Lucas made to the trilogy has never bothered me. I think that Disney doesn't need to leave them where they are, actually, because the CGI is so terrible now. Like those animals.
Yeah, we need to fix them up.
Yeah, like, I mean, come on now.
Yeah, I mean, it was 1996, 1997 when made. Yeah. All right, I feel like have we fulfilled our Star Wars quota for today. Bart, I'll let you be the ruler.
Yeah, I guess, unless you got something else.
Well, I mean, I can...
Something pressing. I would say that's pretty... I mean, do we want to talk about whether Jar Jar was a Sith Lord or not?
I don't want to talk about Jar Jar being a Sith Lord, though that's funny. Seeing the videos. Have you noticed you have to refer to Porgs with an S? And I think they realized that a little late. They never say Porg, and I think there's a reason. Now they just have to say everything is Porgs. One Porg is a Porgs. Like, this is some guy's like, oh... Ryan, I do like the pork scene. I think that was a good light moment that they threw in there that was needed in that trailer.
Oh, I thought it was great.
It was dark. Everything's dark. And then you gave that one funny laugh moment. I'm like, good. That's Star Wars. You always need a little bit of levity in it. And everything else is, I've never seen power like that once. And then Snoke. All right. We'll make one last prediction before this. Does Snoke survive episode 8?
Yes.
I think he's dead by the end of the movie.
You do.
I do. Bart.
Does Snoke survive? I think he does. The question is, does...
Really?
And we don't know anything, so these aren't spoilers.
No, I'm just guessing.
Does Luke survive?
Yes.
See, and I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, I mean, obviously, none of us know. But yes, Luke survives.
Well, I mean, I don't have a theory, I should say. Like, I don't...
I don't know if we
I'm neutral.
I don't know if we see Luke leave Ahch-To. I think Luke, there's a chance we see Luke as Yoda and he doesn't leave that area. We haven't seen him in production of anything else.
Oh, that's possible. Yeah. That's
but I don't want that to be the case. I want to see him.
You don't think he comes back in the third act?
Probably. But I think there's at least a theory. That's a theory I could get behind me. Like, okay, he's Yoda in this and he's doing his own thing and he doesn't, you know, there's moments. But I think if I'm purely speculating, I don't think Snoke is the big baddie that we're expecting. I think there's something else out there. Snoke gets killed. Towards the end of the movie, maybe by Luke, maybe by Kylo. Let's see.
Okay, here's one for you.
That's where I go.
Here's one for you.
Return of the Jedi.
Do you think Kylo Ren is a good guy?
Not currently.
Oh, see.
No. I think he's redeemable.
Let me run this by you, fellas.
Redeemable?
Hang on, fellas.
He impaled his father with a lightsaber. Right? I don't think you can redeem that character.
I know, but there is a theory.
That he ignited the lightsaber.
That he is a good guy, and he's infiltrating, and that he knew
he had to do something major.
Yep, because Snoke told him to.
Right,
and he had to do it, or else he would. Yeah,
I would not be surprised to see. I don't think that's it, but I would not be surprised to see Kylo turn before the end of this next episode.
I've heard those theories. I just don't. Yeah, they say like Rey's gonna turn bad.
And no, I don't
really
think so.
Kylo's story.
Like, I think when he offers his hand to her. Maybe at that point he has done something that is I'm creating my theories. He's killed Snoke at that point. He saved her. When you see that scene where Snoke is torturing her, Kylo is there. Kylo kills Snoke, and either for two reasons, either to take on the Empire for his own or whatever, the First Order, or because he's like, you know, forget this guy.
He sees
Rey as his apprentice. Or
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, like I don't think of Yeah,
I was watching Kevin
Smith. For like 35 minutes.
I know. I was watching Kevin Smith do his live reaction to the trailer, and then he was reading comments, and some commenter, and I just got the biggest kick out of this, so I had to mention it. Some commenter was like, who do you think Snoke is? Do you think he's somebody important, or do you think he's just some dude named Snoke? I was like, that's so great. Like, is he really like, or is he just some guy?
Is he just
Snoke?
A bad guy? Yeah. I think that may be the case.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah, hey, I'm Snokey, you know?
Yeah.
I live next to the Skywalkers. Like, what?
I watched this kid growing up. And I'm like, hey, you could do better. All right.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Okay.
30 minutes.
I saw Kevin Smith this week.
That was this week?
At the world famous Ryman Auditorium, home of the Grand Ole Opry, original home. Sorry, it was Garrison Keillor-ing it for some reason. And he obviously, we stayed for about, he did a 3-hour talk. And we stayed for the first two. Unfortunately, we had to leave. But the first two was fantastic. He sang on the Opry stage, which you can say on his Instagram, which is pretty rad. But yeah, I thought that would at least get us off Star Wars. But I think if we talk Kevin Smith, we'll end up back at Star Wars. So
I don't know the guy, and like I mentioned before, like I don't really know of him that well either. I've just recently started getting into who he is and his work and things like that, and I know that he's wonderful to fans, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
And I love it when people are good to fans. Like Johnny Depp one time, I know there's a lot of controversy around him at the present moment, but
besides that,
he was in an interview one time and he had stood in line for like, I don't know how many hours, like 5 hours or something like that, signing autographs for fans. And the interviewer said, that was very nice of you. And he said, no, that was nice of them.
Yeah.
He said, they are my employers.
Right.
And so I think, I just think that Kevin Smith has that type of mentality too. But it bothers me, like, he's so nice. Like, I think, like, if I meet him, I'm going to be like, are you really nice to me? Like, do you really like me?
Well,
or, like, I can't tell. I can't see through the nice mask.
Yeah. I have had a couple interactions briefly with him at events. And it is very much he loves me. Like, I think maybe we suffer from a similar thing, which is like, in front of an audience, I'm all good. You get me one-on-one, not great. So I think
we have a good time.
I know you. I just meet like some random person who, especially at this time when things are crazy, the world is crazy, bad stuff happens to these guys who are just out there with no security, and it's bad to say it's true. So I could tell there's a barrier, and there's very much a, hey, nice to see you. I gotta go. And there's a little bit of that to him, but that doesn't make me dislike him anymore because he's so accessible and everywhere else. But have you watched any of his movies yet? No. So Bart,
I've never even seen Mallrats.
Well, Mallrats is probably, I don't know if that's where you should start. Bart, if you're as big a fan as I am, where should he start? What's your favorite Kevin Smith movie?
Jay and Silent Bob, right?
Well,
they're in it.
No, I started with Mallrats. That's where it begins for me.
Yeah.
In fact, I didn't see Clerks for many, many years after that. In fact, I tried watching Clerks when it first came out on VHS, and I didn't really get into it. I have a hard time with black and white, especially movies that weren't made during the black and white era. Yeah. So, like, I mean, my favorite movie of all time is Casablanca. So it's black and white. I live with it, and I don't want them colorizing it. There was a time in my childhood where Ted Turner was colorizing every black and white movie. It was like a big thing, and it looked terrible. It was all like pastels and
things. Yeah, everyone looked painted.
Yeah, it looked painted. It looked very unnatural. So, but I had a hard time with Clerks the first time, but then I saw Mallrats, and I loved it. In fact, I was at a party, like it was when I was a waiter and a bartender, and it was very much like I briefly had a stint at an Applebee's, and it was very much like the movie Waiting in a lot of ways. I never showed the goat though, but, and we'd always go to somebody's apartment after just party and stuff. But one time someone's like, oh, I got this movie. You guys got to watch this. I rented this. And he puts in this VHS and it's Mallrats. And most of the people just keep drinking and carousing and being loud. And I'm like, shut up. I'm like pulling a chair up in front of the TV. Like I was glued to it. And then I kind of kept up with him from there. And then this was in the fledgling states of the internet when he was, you know, Kevin Smith was smart enough.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you could really attribute a lot of his career to this, to jump on the internet early. He was a very early adopter, especially with message boards and things like that.
News Askew was around since I can remember.
News Askew.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's where I did start with Mallrats and worked forward. And then somewhere along the way, I went back, probably around the Clerks X, the 10th anniversary, and I watched Clerks. And then I got it, and I found it funny. So I think it might have been around the time of the Clerks cartoon, in fact, or shortly after. But
I didn't know Clerks was in black and white.
It is. Clerks 2 isn't.
Yep.
Clerks 1 is.
Wow.
The first one I saw was...
Clerks 2, I think, should have been, actually. But I also think it should not have... well, I think a lot of things, but anyway.
I love Clerks 2. I don't care what you say. I think it's great. I think it's one of his best movies. But Clerks, the first movie I saw was Mallrats as well, but I saw it on Comedy Central. I saw when it was... completely edited, and I was a kid because it came out in the late 90s. It came out like in the mid 90s, and I remember liking it. You know, these comic book references stuff that I liked, but the first one I saw in theater was Dogma, and as someone who is a religious person, it blew me away, and I still think it's a terrific film. If you can, especially if, I mean, if when it comes to talking about faith, I think it's actually very underrated. In that instance. So the first one I saw was Dogma in theaters, and I went back. I'd seen Clerks already and Mallrats because and then once I saw Dogma, my eyes kind of opened to the whole Jay and Silent Bob universe, and I went to film school pretty shortly after that. And man, if you go to film school and aren't force-fed every Kevin Smith movie, at least in the early 2000s.
You didn't go to film school.
You didn't go to film school. So, I mean, we were watching Chasing Amy and we were watching all these movies. I mean, I think universally for fans, I think Chasing Amy's probably considered his best movie. I don't know. Would you think that, Bart?
Well, yeah, probably. It's not.
But I mean,
but
like,
yeah,
I think it's probably the most critically acclaimed.
Film fans, if you ask a real critical film fan, yes, they would say Chasing Amy is really, I mean, Clerks is the movie that brought him out, so to speak, whatever.
Yeah.
But then remember, Mallrats was a colossal failure at first. And then he went back and made this Chasing Amy movie for a very small budget. And it was, again, it was huge. It was like the darling at Cannes and all that. So, and that's what really made him like the independent film icon that he was for a time. And now I don't know,
for
fans
funny.
Like us, he is, but I don't know if he still maintains that cred anymore. I don't know.
I just read the synopsis for Chasing Amy and it's hilarious. I actually, wow. I thought I was original. I actually had a story
concept.
Very similar. Yeah.
Well,
with a similar
it's a
concept.
Fantastic movie. Go back and watch it. It's a,
Kevin Smith beat me to it.
He did. He beat a lot of people to a lot of, I think, filmmaking stuff. And I think that's why you're seeing him now make movies that are whatever he wants to make. And for his people,
give him a chance
someone
to do something
once
like
said,
Star Wars, though. Come on.
I love it. And he talked about that. He's a stormtrooper in The Force Awakens. He's a voice of a stormtrooper. And he's like, you know, that made my dreams come true. And some people now say Kevin Smith is kind of the insane clown posse of filmmakers because he is making these movies that are very much targeted to his hardcore base or are just wild. Yoga Hosers, I liked. It wasn't my favorite, but I didn't dislike it. Tusk. as a horror fan, oh, I loved it so much. But you really can't go wrong with those first like five movies. Man, I don't know. It was a really good time at the Ryman. Someone brought up an interesting thing because he's like us, is always coming up with concepts. And what he does that's, I think, different than a lot of us is he announces his concepts, Bart. And Tyler, like, even like, he's like, we're making this movie. And then nothing, it's like 6 years later and occasionally right. It pops up. And someone asked him that question, like, how do you manage this when it's like you wanted to make Clerks 3, then you wanted to, but the actor wouldn't do it. Then you wanted to make Mallrats 2, then you couldn't get anyone to pick it up. Then you're talking about, you know, Moose Jaws, which is Jaws with a moose. And and you know, these movies never happen. And now you're saying a Jay and Silent Bob reboot is going to happen. He read part of that script. But
I thought they were shooting that.
He said they're shooting it in January. But I'll be honest, he said that before about a lot of these movies. He said that about Mallrats. He said that about Clerks 3. So I'm sort of like,
you know what that's
breath.
Called? I just had this conversation last night. It's called taking a band photo. There's a wives' tale, ladies and gentlemen, in the music business. It's called never take a band photo because as soon as you do, somebody leaves the band.
Yeah. absolutely. But he brought up, someone asked him a question like, how do you manage these things? We have all these, you clearly have all these ideas. And he had some really good points and something you can really take to heart. A couple were, you know, obviously he's putting them out into the universe, letting people know and seeing what the reaction is, seeing if people seem like they're on board. Some of it was that he just tries, if he has a really good idea, or he thinks he has a good idea, is just to every day, even if it's a small step, take that step forward into making your project a reality. Even if it's you have 50 of them going on, all right, well, today you're going to focus on this one. Or maybe it's just – he said one thing they would make in Clerks was just buying business cards and having letterhead because all of a sudden it was like it's official. Like there's something tangible here about the project that we're making.
See, that's what I'm saying.
That
see, the
really
more I hear about
hard.
This guy, the more I – see, that's amazing.
Yeah, like that's something that wow. I wish – like there's a one project I'm working on. It's been delayed like six times and it's a little discouraging. But there's one piece
only
of –
Only one project?
Well, there's one of these that I'm very much
– Let me count. One.
That I'm
two,
on the
three,
track to
four,
making
five,
but
six,
should have been
seven.
Shooting like this week. But we've been delayed continually due to stuff. Some stuff's out of my control. But I have pieces of that project that physically exist. I can go hold them. I can't say what it is. But I can hold them and say this is the centerpiece of this project. This is something that – I have to do it now. This thing exists. And I don't know that kind
have
of.
Have I seen this?
Yeah, I think you have. Oh. I think this kind of thing, it hit me in an interesting way. And Bart, I know you're someone who also is, you got Cats the Castle too, you got Ears of Steel too, you got all of these other projects. Is that.
And I keep going back and forth saying, I'm doing this now. Wait, no, I'm going to do this one.
See,
now.
That's
right.
me.
Me
that's
too.
Me.
It's my little, I always lived by a goofy rule that I felt like was true for the most part, which was if I'm still talking about an idea 2 weeks later, it's worth – if I've ever done a motivational speech, which I've had to a couple times, it's always a bridge. If I have an idea and 2 weeks later I'm still talking about that idea, It's worth proceeding at least to the next level because it's like it's kept – because I've had plenty of them that are like one day in and out.
That's going to be a motivational quote one day.
But 2 weeks and then it's like, okay, it's at least checking now can we do it. It's not a we have to do it. We have to finish it. One thing he said was no deadlines, which if I didn't put any deadlines on myself, there would be some problems here. His only thing was no drop dead dates. And I think for some creative projects, that's absolutely true. The project I'm working on right now, I couldn't be doing it right now if I had drop dead dates because I would be – we'd be done. That was a that's my one little rule that I use when I'm trying to come up with these ideas and work on our next project is the two-week rule. But – you know, it's
I'm gonna write this crap down.
You should. I'm one.
Two week rule.
That's my 2 week rule. You can put that in a book. But that's something that has always been for people like me. I feel like in you and Bart come up with a million ideas. It's good to be like, all right, does this? Don't take it too fast. Where you're like, all right, I'm buying everything today. We're shooting this thing now. It's like no, think about it for a couple of weeks. Let yourself actually kind of simmer on the idea because a lot of them will pass. A lot of your ideas will just move on. You're like, okay, I'm not as interested in that as I was. Yesterday.
Well, that's like the Imagineers, you know, they always say try to draw, make models, you know, write anything that you can, you know. Yeah, well, especially for specific projects, try to have as much information as you can to convey the idea, that you're trying to convey. So like having all of that stuff really it's kind of like what you were saying. It makes it real. Like right. This is something now. And so that as a graphics designer, and that helped, you know, I'm always doing logos for my films and stuff like that, trying to get into it. But see, sometimes when I do that too, like, or if I tell someone an idea, talking about releasing the energy, I feel like I'm doing just that. I feel like I'm releasing the energy. And then it's almost like a sneeze or something. Like I get it out and then I feel better and I'm like,
yeah, moving so on.
My aunt is a writer, and I learned a lot from her. And she always says, don't release that energy. Like, keep that excitement inside you and, like, use that. Don't ever tell anybody. Don't release the energy. And I found that to be true to an extent. So I try not to say anything. I had a cousin that who told me, if you're going to do something – don't tell anyone about it. Just do it. Like if you're going to try to lose weight, don't say, you know what, hey, I'm going to start my diet today. Because if you don't, then, you know, people look at you 2 weeks later and they're like, hey, I thought you were going to start your diet. But if you do it and don't tell anybody, then eventually they look at you and go, hey, man, you look great.
If like, you have you great doing? Self-control, that's awesome. Yeah, that's like for me, I'm like, then I would have no accountability. So I would not do it.
I know.
I would end up at Bojangles.
So
I mean, that's always been my philosophy too, but like I'm like, I'm gonna write this, but like with the Cats of the Castle, I only told a couple people what I was actually working on. But the problem for me is that I do a weekly pod. I've been doing this weekly podcast even before we started this, and I was like, I need something to talk about. So finally I was like, all right, fine, I'm gonna tell you what it is, because I'm sick of like hinting at it and whatever. But yeah, so I don't know. And that's if you look at like, I follow my time hop every day, I check it, and just like a year ago, like 2 days ago, it was like I posted a picture, I'm working on Years of Steel 2 right now. And then, like, you know, you know, in a few days, it will say, I'm working on the Cats of the Castle 2. But, you know, so, but.
Well, some of that's just where your passion lies and where things are, if things are successes, you know, or failures.
It's kind of where I gauge what the audience is responding to. And you know, a little more time will always reveal changes. And like it has recently that. I'm going to work on Years of Steel 2 again now.
I'm excited.
Because the audience has kind of spoken.
Well, that's why I don't have tattoos, because my mood always changes. Like, I mean, you know, I might be in an Indiana Jones mood one day, or I might, you know, be in a James Bond mood the next day. Like, I rotate. So I just work on whatever I'm passionate at the time. And
all right. Well, I think this is a very motivational show today. I feel like we've taken people on a journey.
I feel like I need to give something else. You know, I need to give a good outro, but I don't have nothing. Like,
well, I think, well, there's one person though that does the outro. Dr. Scott, take us out.
I mean, space. Am I right?
It's like space without the stars. You can't get blacker. It's more, if you look at it, there's some Spinal Tap. It's actually from the Spinal Tap DVD menu.
And there's also spinach, liver, and tripe. Brother George swear he got a bogey flavored one once.
There you go. Very nice. Very nice. That's a proper ending. There you go. I went Spinal Tap, you went Potter. It's fine.
Alas, earwax. So, hey, it was real quick, did you guys eat lunch yet? You didn't, did you?
Mine's waiting on me.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, I had leftover chicken tacos from last night, in case you're wondering.
Okay,
so
all right.
Yeah,
yep.
Yum.
This is the lunch break.
It is. Mm-hmm.
They were delicious, but folks, we don't know what you're having for lunch, but I hope it was delicious. And above all, as we say every week, as we wrap this wonderful program, first of all, thanks for coming back. Thanks for hitting that subscribe button. And hey, feel free to go to iTunes and rate and review this show, as long as you know, feel it was worthy of your time. And most importantly, folks.
Wait. You have an event coming up. You have an event coming up this weekend, right?
Who?
You. Don't you?
Next weekend.
Next weekend. But this
next weekend.
People probably should know.
October. But here's the problem. If they're not already coming, they can't come now.
Show sold out. Show sold out. For me,
but
Friday, October
20th. We will do a meetup beforehand.
Oh, good. So if you want to make the trek out to the mall.
Yeah, we'll tweet that. There's a ton of stuff around there. I know some listeners said they couldn't get tickets, but they're going to come out anyway. Because even if you can't come to the actual comedy show, we can all meet up beforehand, and then you can go to, there's a GameWorks, there's a huge AMC theater, the Rainforest Cafe. There's tons of stuff to do out there, so you can still find fun. But yeah, the show, the Burt Kreischer Show at the Chicago Improv in Schaumburg, Illinois, which is nowhere near Chicago, is sold out. All the shows on Friday. And they also say, now it says special event, and I don't know if that's because I'm coming or what it is. But
you know it's not sold out.
I'm not aware.
October 20th, 11 a.m. in Orlando, Florida. You can come see Welcome Home Dick Van Dyke at the Orlando Film Festival. But that's next Friday, October 20th. And here's the deal. It's
I thought you said the 12th there for a second.
Maybe I did.
Oh, my God. I was like,
you missed it. It's at 11. It's 11 a.m. on Friday.
Right now.
The cool part about it is $20 to get in, but you get to stay for the whole day. So you get to go to all the cool films that are happening on Friday for the Atlanta Film Festival. So hopefully I'll see you there. Now, Bart, take us out.
All right. Folks, you heard it here first. I don't know what you heard, but that sounded appropriate at the time. We hope you enjoyed your lunch. Goodbye, gang.
Oh, boy.
Come have some brunch.